On the Move. That is a sermon series we are in Deuteronomy, and we have come to chapter 8. And the big idea for chapter 8 is God's people cannot forget the Lord our God. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why don't you turn to Deuteronomy 8, get your place, and I'll seek the Lord for us. God, you're so good, and we just thank you that you are on your throne and that you are reigning. And because we are in you, Jesus, we can say it is well with our souls. God, I pray for us this morning that you would help us to know and understand the purpose of this lesson that Moses was teaching the Israelites. It's very applicable for us today. So help us to lean in, to press in to your truth this morning. Help us to know that we are meeting with the true and real living God who is close to the brokenhearted, who is leading those who are called by his name. God, we're going to celebrate your word and we're going to celebrate your truth, and we look forward to doing what you're asking us to do as we live in obedience to King Jesus. We pray this in the powerful name of Christ. Amen. Moms, have you ever noticed that Sunday morning can be a little bit crazy to get to church? Anybody with me here today? Imagine this scenario with me. You're getting ready to get out the door. You're calling. You're at the door. You're getting your jacket. You're putting on your shoes, your boots, and you're yelling, "Kids, car, get in the car." Anyone with me? Kids are running, dashing out, grabbing Pop-Tarts and Eggos. My daughter was like, I'm like at the door this morning. She's like, "I'm just getting an Eggo." I'm like, "Let's go." The kids are running by you and you realize, okay, I got my keys, I got my phone, and then your little one comes up and says, "Mommy, please do my hair." And you say, "Daddy, do the hair." And as you bend down to tie your boots, you realize, you look at your husband and you realize, if he does this, we are definitely going to be late. So you stand up, you throw your keys to your husband, he throws you the brush, you whip your daughter's hair up in a bun, you're out the door, everybody's in, car started, let's go. Amen? And then you realize you forgot your phone. We can easily forget when we are distracted. Or how about dads, when we're very busy and we have a commitment to our son or daughter or spouse that we're going to pick them up, and they send you a text message saying, "Are you going to be there?" And you're like, "I'm out the door," when you're really not out the door yet, but I'm almost there. And then you're like, "Okay, I got to go. I got 3 minutes. If I time all the lights, I'm not going to be late." And you're walking out the door and someone says, "Hey, excuse me, do you just have a second?" And then you realize, if I talk to them, I'm definitely going to be late. So they're talking to you and you realize, okay, I am late. Okay, so if I just speed through 4 traffic lights, I can get there. I can still make it. But they just keep on talking. And you don't tell them, "Hey, can we put a pin in this? I really have a commitment. I have to go pick up my son, daughter, spouse." But you just let them talk and then you realize, yep, I'm late. I'm late again. And you let down son, daughter, spouse. It can be easy for us to choose disobedience sometimes when we want to prioritize our desires over our priorities. And in our text today, that's what we're going to read about. Moses is reminding God's people that we, as the chosen ones to do the will of God, need to stay focused and we need to prioritize God's way of living so that we will not face his wrath. Let's look at the text this morning. We're in Deuteronomy 8. We're going to read the full chapter here. 1 to 20. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on an oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, or your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, you will eat and be satisfied, and when you build your fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you, to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. We're going to look at six things this morning to help us not to forget the Lord. And the first thing that Moses is teaching the people is we need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to remember everything that God continually does for us as his people. This passage teaches or emphasizes the importances of remembering God's faithfulness and provision throughout the wilderness journey for the Israelites. Just as the Israelites were reminded of how God led them through the wilderness, us today are encouraged to reflect on God's faithfulness in our own lives, acknowledging his guidance and provision. Do you remember being in school and the teacher, professor, whoever was teaching said, this is really important. This is going to be on the test. Take note of this. Write this down. Do you remember that? This is the Moses teaching moment where he gathers his people together and he's saying, guys, this is on the test. You need to write this down. You need to make sure that this happens in your life. And he starts in verse 1 with this. He says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, to your ancestors. When we look at this first verse, we're going to see an imperative, a command with a promise. If you do this, this will happen. In fact, as we read through this whole chapter, we're going to see Moses stressing to God's people to keep alive the memory of what God has done for his people, what God has done for us today, urging God's people to act upon what they know. A few chapters before, Pastor Kelvin a few weeks ago taught us the Shema. Tell your neighbor, Shema. Shema. This is the oath that they would say to each other. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength. This was something that they would tell each other on a regular basis to kind of show that they were God's people. But Moses is trying to rally the people together and say, guys, it's not just about what you say, it's about what you do. And when you do things, you got to remember that the Lord your God is with us and you will forget if you just run past what the Lord has for you. In fact, Moses gives a fivefold plea. Five is an important number in this passage. A fivefold plea throughout the text to God's people to not forget. Let's look at this. In verse 2, it says, it'll come up on the screen. Remember how the Lord your God led you. In verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. In verse 14, you will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God. Verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God. Moses is stressing. We're a forgetful people. We forget things. We forget what the Lord has done. We forget that the Lord rescues. We forget that the Lord has brought us through a trial. We forget that the Lord is with us as we do life. I love this passage. There's so much in here as we dig deep because this applies to our life as God's people right now in 2024 in March at Calvary. Moses is urging God's people. He's telling us today that we need to recognize, take notice of the peril that arises when we intentionally disregard God's commands or allow ourselves to become distracted and forget what the Lord has done. You see, this is a foothold for all of us today. We are all in the same place. We can easily get distracted, and any of us can easily drift away from the Lord. We actually may think we're good, like me and God are good. I came in this morning, I sang the praises, I gave the money, we're good. But don't deceive yourself. We need to make sure that we know our own hearts. In fact, as we dig through the scriptures, this is something that is really highlighted in many places, but especially here, of knowing the depths and the sinfulness of our own hearts. See, God knows the heart of his people. The word of God says that he searches the whole world looking for the hearts of the people that are sold out to him. See, God knows our hearts, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't want to know. The scriptures teach us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Jeremiah actually asks us a question. Who can actually understand this heart? Martin Luther said that our heart is a factory of idols. And as we're going to see here, we need to be on guard, remembering God's faithfulness and reminding each other each week about the goodness of God, the glory of God, singing about, testifying about, praising about, that God is on the right, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to God. God is with us. We can move forward with God. God is faithful. And he does not want us to forget. And one thing that we're going to learn as we move through this passage is that God tests the hearts of his people. Look at verse 2. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you. Is the Lord Jesus leading you right now? Have you been with the Lord for a long time? Maybe you've been doing life with Jesus for a long time. Maybe you don't know the Lord, and maybe someone brought you, you got an invitation, you're here. You're like, who is this Lord? We'll talk about him. But I'm talking to the ones who have been on a journey. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you. If I stop for a minute, I think I can remember all the times God led me. And it says, he led you all the way in the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you. And here's the moment, in order to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. Remember how the Lord led and he humbled and he tested. That's the big idea for verse 2. Church, you see, the devil will tempt you. But the Lord God will test you. You see, the devil will tempt you, but the Lord our God will test you. See, the devil wants to turn your hearts away from God, but God wants to build your resistance to temptation by training you in trial to trust God. I'll say it again. The devil wants to turn your heart away, but God wants to build your resistance to temptation by training you to trust God. See, the testing that God puts his people through, it's not a testing that to see if you are going to be unfaithful to his commands. God doesn't do that. That's what the devil does. Did God really say, as he said to Eve? That's not the Lord our God. See, our God, in his testing, is so that you will be faithful when temptation does come your way. Look at James 1:2. James was the half-brother of Jesus, wrote a letter. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We are easily distracted, or we choose to disobey the Lord. And the question for us today is, will we trust God? Will we trust God with our marriages? Will we trust God with our finances? Will we trust God as we raise our children? Will we trust God with our confession? Believing that those who confess their sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. See, the temptation for us will be when we are in a trial or a season of suffering, and I know that we have been through one. Lots of us have been through trials and seasons of suffering. Those moments, we will be tempted. We will choose to focus on the promises of God and limit distractions, or we will forsake God and do our own thing, disobeying the counsel of God's word. Church, I want to tell you, I just want to remind you, I want to stand with you, I want to declare this. If you love the Lord, he's going to test you. You will have trials, and those trials will help you to be faithful, to know how to stand on guard against the devil's schemes. We don't need to be afraid of the trials that we face, because there is a purpose of testing. There is a purpose for the testing. We're going to see this in the next three verses. That's my next point is the purpose of testing. See, God allowed the Israelites to experience trials and testing in the wilderness. It says this. It says to humble them and to reveal what was in their hearts, because God was preparing them for something that was coming that was going to be way bigger than anything that they have ever experienced. And if they weren't ready and if they weren't disciplined, they were going to fail. And God does the very same thing for us. Similarly, believers may face trials and testings, and these trials and testings have a purpose. And as we dig deep, as we kind of look to the next level and kind of get to the root of a trial or something that we're going through, we're going to see that as we stick with God, as we lift our eyes up to him, it will refine our character. We will understand our identity in Christ. We'll understand the question, who are we? It will also deepen our dependence on God. We will understand and know where we can go when trials come. It will also help us to strengthen our faith. We can overcome. The Bible declares that we are more than overcomers to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when a trial or a setback or a suffering or something that we're going through starts to rise up, we can know. There's a place we can go. I know who I am. I am rooted in Christ. He is with me. I know what is in my heart. The Lord has been preparing me. He's been disciplining me. He has been helping me. I can stand firm against the devil's schemes. There is a purpose in testing. Let's look at the testing of God's people in verse 3 through 6. It says that he humbled you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with this manna. He was putting them through these tests every morning. To teach you, these three words, that man, there was a lesson in the going out and coming in every day, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is this moment of refining our character. Who do we trust? Who do we believe in? Who do we stand upon? Psalm 78:25 kind of reiterates this whole passage. And it says that man ate the bread of angels. That's what they call manna in Psalm 78. It was the bread of angels. Every morning during the wilderness journey, God sent his people out to collect the manna for physical sustenance, but the daily occurrence. This is what he was doing every day. He said, you cannot stockpile this. You can't get enough for 2 or 3 days. You just got to get enough for the meals that you need for today, the bread of angels, because what he was doing every day was training them to trust the Lord, training them, as we see in John 6:35, that the coming Messiah would be the bread of life. He would be the one that we would feast on. Even Jesus said this. He said in the prayer when he was teaching his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember the testing of Jesus? Jesus gets baptized and he goes out in the wilderness and it's time for his testing and the devil shows up. Do you ever notice that he quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? Where do you go when trials come? Where do you fix your gaze? Is it on the issue or is it towards God? You see, the purpose of testing is every time we go through things and our lives are being refined and we're learning to trust God, as soon as things start to happen, it's up. Eyes up. In my ministry over the last 20 plus years, I have a bunch of phrases that I kind of go through. Press in. This last season is eyes up. I say this to Pastor Jim and myself as we're doing life together, and Pastor Kay and Jordy. I'll say things, hey, at the end of a statement, I'll just say, hey, make sure, eyes up. Because this is something that we need to be reminded of, because if we get our eyes focused on our situations, we get our eyes focused on what this person's doing or that person's doing, we're going to easily be disheartened. But when we put our eyes up to the maker of heaven and earth, we're going to be okay every time. And that's what the testing is. That's what the purpose of testing is to make sure that we are going to the one who can do all things. We can overcome because of his training and leading in our lives, because he is our source of strength. He is the spring of encouragement. Jesus is the source of our life. Here it is. Our relationship to the Word of God indicates our relationship to the God of the Word. If we trust God, then we will trust his Word, and if we trust his Word, we will trust his God, trust our God. God was providing, but more importantly, he was training his people. He was training them to trust his commands, his words. There are 33,000 verses in this book. We spend minimal time on it. This will save us. Where we look, where we go, who we are. It says that he provided for them. The scripture says that their clothes did not wear out. It says that their feet did not swell. He humbles, he feeds, he teaches, he provides, he sustains so that we will trust him when we don't understand. You see, the three most pressing questions of life are often summarized as what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? And these three questions encapsulate fundamental concerns about sustenance and provision and material needs that have been pondered by humanity throughout history. They reflect the basic necessities required for survival and well-being, addressing both physical and practical aspects of life. And these are the things, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear, are the things that we stress about. In fact, these are the exact same questions that Jesus teaches on in Matthew 6:35. Jesus says, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, because the pagans, the ones who don't trust in God, the ones who don't understand testing, the ones who don't lift their eyes up to Jesus, those are the ones who run after these things. Those are not for my people who've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. He says, no, you have a different mission. His mission says is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that the whole world is worrying about, these material blessings, those things will be added on to you. Our God knows what we need before we even ask. God continues to teach his people to trust in him because there will be temptation coming our way. If his people are not ready, if we're not conditioned, if we're not trained and ready, we will forget the Lord. Church, this is so true. We will forget the Lord. Verse 5 actually, let's go to that for a second. Verse 5 says, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." What do you think that word discipline in this verse means? God's discipline is not that of an angry parent, but it is of a loving father preparing his children to take on life's responsibilities in a sin-saturated world and still grow and achieve and conquer and to be a blessing and to receive the blessings. Church, the scripture is clear. The Lord your God will test you, he will train you, he will teach you, but he will not tempt you. He will not tempt you to sin. Actually, James 1:13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Tempting is of the devil's work, and is also when we do not know or understand the depths of our own sinfulness in our hearts. It is a result of our own fleshly desires that flare up when we are distracted or disobedient, forgetting what the Lord has done for us. So if you love the Lord, and you're here today and you're praising God, let me remind you that there will be testing. And that testing that you do go through will be training. And that training will help you to avoid, point four, avoiding spiritual forgetfulness, which we see in verses 6-9. See, the Israelites are going through the desert. They're in there for 40 years. They're about to go into the promised land. Moses is going through a series of sermons. He's preparing the people to cross over, and they're going to take this new place. And the key that opened the door to the promised land was simple. Three things: obey God's commands, walk in his ways, and show reverence. Verse 6. If the people of Israel disobey God's word, if they just chose to do what they wanted, walk in their own ways, and showed no fear towards the Lord, they would be inviting judgment upon their lives. But if they followed the Lord, it says that he would bless them. It says the Lord wants to bless his people, but most of the time, we're not ready for the blessing. We don't get the test. Like, we keep failing these tests, and God keeps bringing us through things so that we will turn to him, so that we will be disciplined, so that we'll be ready to receive the blessing that he wants to give. And sometimes the blessing that we think and what God thinks are two different things. His ways are not our ways. I want you to do a little exercise with me. I'm going to read some verses. When you hear the word land, I want you to say one. If you hear a second land, I want you to say two, okay? And we're going to count the lands. Listen to this. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will be not scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." Five times God challenged in this passage not to forget the Lord. And then five times he talks about a major blessing that is coming for them if they would make sure that they did not forget the Lord. "The land abounds with endless abundance of fresh water." Do you remember them in the desert? It actually says in the text it was a vast dry land. Actually, Moses disobeys God, strikes a rock to get water, and then gets kicked. He loses his blessing to go into promised land because he served man before he served God. And then now, look what the blessing is. The land abounds with an endless abundance of fresh water. 7b, a diverse array of nutritious foods. 8a, stable agriculture and luxurious resources. 8b, an unlimited provision of all necessities. 9a, and easily accessible materials. 9b, Moses begins by highlighting God's provision of water for his people. Because it is crucial to recall how the Israelites were grumbling about water and food as they were going through the desert, and God was providing, and they missed it. They kept failing the test. Oh, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to slavery. I want to go back to this because we had onions and leeks. And he was providing every single day. He was training them. He was teaching them. There was purpose in the testing so that they would not forget, because something is coming that they would not understand. The blessings of the Lord are way beyond what we can understand. And the Lord our God gets us ready. See, their former life was one of slavery and wandering, relying solely on God for provision and guidance every day. But in this new life, the situation is going to change, and it looks a lot like how we do life. It's going to be completely different. They would have water and houses, food. They would have job opportunities. And this was all available through the obedience to God's commands. The blessings they received through obedience to God's commands mirror, actually, for us here today, us who are in relationship with Jesus. The abundance of blessings already available to the believer because of what Christ has done. We get to enjoy the riches of God's glory. The abundance of his mercy. The word declares that every day his mercy is new. It took me a long time to figure that one out. Every day when I get up, it's like a clean slate before the Lord. If I messed up the day before, I could fess up and confess my sin. But today is a new day in the Lord that I get to walk. I get to pick up my cross. I get to fix my gaze on his glory. And I get to step and walk out in righteousness because Christ is with me. That is beautiful. That is an abundant blessing. We are made complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10, in whom all fullness dwells, Colossians 1:19. And thus we possess everything necessary right now for fulfilling the Christian life as to bring glory unto God. So how do we avoid spiritual forgetfulness every day? Well, when we get up in the morning, church, we don't forget the Lord. We talk to him. When we're making our way to work or school, we don't forget the Lord. When we're getting our kids ready for bed, we know we may have had a hard day, but we don't forget the Lord. We pray with our little ones. When we go about our responsibilities, we don't forget the Lord. How? How do we not forget the Lord? What are the practical applications? Well, we focus on the splendor of God in our lives. God is good. He is with us. Daily recall the joy of your salvation. Do you remember the first time you came to know the Lord? That moment where you said, Lord, will you be my Savior? Will you be my Lord? Do you remember? Think with me. Go back to that moment. Tanya, I'm looking at you. Go back to that moment, girl. How happy were you? Yeah, good. Someone else, how happy were you? The day that you realize that your sin has been forgiven, the Lord is with you. We need to daily recount the joy of the Lord, the joy of our salvation, because we easily forget. Oh, that was 20 years ago. That was 25 years ago. That was 57 years ago. I remember that day. You need to remember that day today, because the Lord is good. Amen? He is so good, church. And we're so easily able to forget the things that he does. So we need to remember the joy of the Lord each and every day. We, as God's people, and it's something that we do kind of well here. I don't say this pridefully, but I'm saying that we do this to remind each other that we need to stand firm in what we believe. We need to stand firm in the Word of God. We need to stand firm in our convictions. And then we make our decisions through our convictions, which are only found in the Word of God. Amen? You see, the theme of obeying God's command and not turning aside from them is woven throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy, but it comes to a forefront here in chapter 8. We need to avoid spiritual forgetfulness. But what if we do? What if you are in a season where you are avoiding God altogether? Well, 10 through 18 says that people who drift are in danger of pride and self-sufficiency. Have you ever heard when the going is good, you should give thanks? But most of us forget to praise God when things are good. And there is a danger in abundance and comfort, as we may become so immersed in the blessing that we actually forget the source of those blessings. In Deuteronomy 10 through 18, Moses delivers this heart-wrenching message to his people, cautioning them against forgetting to praise God amidst the abundance of prosperity, forgetting to praise God. Now, we in our cycle, in our kind of pattern, we come to church and we praise God, but praising God on Sunday morning, that's only a little bit of what we need to be doing. It's every moment of every day. I had this pastor that I used to go to New York with. We were in school together. He's a pastor in the East Coast. And I remember we would drive together. We would take turn driving. And the first time I ever met him, he gets in the car and he just starts, he says, "Praise King Jesus." He kind of scared me. You ever notice when you get in a vehicle and it's kind of quiet and then someone just says something loud? You're like, "Whoa, Holy Spirit." And he just, every 5 minutes or so, or I don't know if it, like, every time, "Praise God!" I said, "Sir, do you have an issue?" We weren't friends yet. "Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah." He's holding on the steering wheel. I'm like, "Are we going to die?" This is literally, I just met this guy, got in a van with him, and we're taking turns driving. Hallelujah. We get to the ministry place in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, and we're doing our stuff, and he pulls me aside, and he says, "Nick, I don't know if you know this, but every minute of every day, you need to praise Jesus." I said, "Yes, you do." Was that what that was in the van? We need to praise the Lord, amen. And however you praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We need to be very careful. I lost my spot. Moses is warning to not get complacent or forget the source of our blessings as we do life. He emphasizes that it is the Lord who has provided them wealth, abundance, and success. Look at the scriptures in verse 11. It says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Be careful, church. We need to remind ourselves of this. "Because failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that he is giving to you this day, otherwise when you eat and you are satisfied," and I was in Buffalo yesterday and I had Dave's Nashville chicken, and I was satisfied. But I did not forget to thank King Jesus. Me and Bella's mouth is burning off, and I'm just like, "Hallelujah, this is good. Hell's hot, but this chicken might be hotter." We praise God. But he reminds them of the dangers that may come with these blessings. They're about to enter this promised land. It has been promised for so long, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and Moses warns them not to be complacent. He says, "Be very careful. When you eat, when you're satisfied, when you build your fine houses, and when you settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all have multiplied, then," verse 14, here's the challenge, "your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God." See, Moses is warning against arrogance and self-sufficiency, urging the Israelites to remember that it is God who gives the power to gain wealth, verse 18. So here's the danger, church. The danger of forgetting to praise God because of affluence lies in the temptation to attribute success solely to human effort. It actually says that you will think, "I did this with my own sweat of my own brow, with my own hands, I built this." But it is the Lord who has created all things. It is the Lord that has done all things. When people become prosperous, there's a tendency to become self-reliant and to forget their dependence on God, and they may begin to trust in their own abilities and achievements. Forgetting God will lead to something called spiritual apathy, and spiritual apathy can be defined as an attitude of, "I just don't care anymore." Not only of spiritual apathy, but something called spiritual complacency, which is I am okay with my current level of engagement. And this, if you're in this place, this is a dangerous place to be, where you're just like, I don't care anymore, and I'm okay with where I'm at with Jesus. I'm not pressing in anymore. And usually what happens, church, this is the drift that we see. When you stop praising God, you stop praying to God. And when you stop praying to God, you stop showing up with God's people. You get distracted. And once you get distracted, it doesn't take long till you live in disobedience. That's why it is so important for us to do life as the church. 1-1-1. At least come into church, serving God's people, and pressing in to learn God's word in a discipleship group. Because in those three ways, we can hold each other accountable, we can worship God, and we can serve the Lord with the gifts that he has given to us. So that we don't get to a place where we just don't care and we stop. I'm okay with where I'm at with Jesus. You should never be okay with where you're at with Jesus. Because there's something, a theology that we have called progressive sanctification, and we are moving towards that every day. As we say yes to God and no to the things of this world. Paul in his doxology in Romans 11 shares this. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. Amen. And this has been a verse in my life that I'm just loving right now. And it's out of the Good News Translation. I love this verse. Psalm 16:5. It says this. Oh, this is so good. You ready? You, Lord, are all I have. You give me all I need, and my future is in your hands. That is the prayer of the Christian. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need, and my future is in your hands. And I think about the moment where it says the disciples, Jesus was teaching on communion, and the disciples said this was a hard teaching, and they turned and they left. And Jesus has this moment with Peter, and he says, are you going to leave? And what does Peter say? Where am I going to go, Lord? Where am I going to go? Lord, you are all I have. You give me all I need. My future is in your hands. And my favorite Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. So don't forget to praise and worship your God, or your heart may become proud. And finally, we end with this. Two verses. The consequences of forgetting God. Moses just tacks on these two verses just as a conclusion, a closing reminder. And that's how I'm going to give it this morning, as a closing reminder. If you ever forget the Lord your God and allow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today, you'll surely be destroyed. There is a danger when we run after the things of this world. In the next verse, it talks about God destroying, but we most of the time destroy ourselves because we fix our eyes on things, shiny things, things we want, and we leave the counsel of the Lord. We leave the fold. God will come after us, but we leave the fold. And there's a danger there. And the call to obedience in Deuteronomy 8:20. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Obedience to God's commands is essential for maintaining our relationship with him and experiencing his blessing. Do not allow any space. Sin. Sin is a wedge between us and God and our relationship. So do not allow any space, any sin, to enter into our relationship with God. Do not get distracted, church. Do not live in disobedience. Because it is easy for us to get distracted. And it doesn't take long for us to stop praising and worshiping and giving thanks to God. And when this happens, church, we open up our lives to sin. And then we live in disobedience to Christ. And we begin to drift. Maybe you've been drifting. And you're coming back to church and you're still living in disobedience. And you've been distracted by a whole bunch of things. I want to remind you. that there is one who loves you. Maybe you are in a season of distraction or disobedience. Maybe you have come to a place of spiritual apathy, an attitude of I don't care, or spiritual complacency. I've stopped moving forward. I don't need any more. This is the best I'm doing. Or maybe you've been in a season of testing and God is teaching you how to stand strong against temptation and to be faithful. But maybe you are confusing this season and you're thinking God may have abandoned you. Maybe he turned his back on you. I want to tell you this. That's false. God is with you. He is here. We're going to sing one more song. Pastor Jordan's going to lead us in a great song. But as we gather for that song, I want to remind us of 1 John 2. I want to share this with us. This is beautiful. This is a gift to us. This is a gift from God's word to us this morning. My dear children, even the language, this is family. This is family. Family wording. My dear children, this is John writing to the church. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, if there is a space in your life between you and God, you have an advocate with the Father who is Christ Jesus, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And what this verse means is if you confess your sin, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive you of your sin and you can walk out of this place here today clean. That's the type of God we have. So, is it time for you to come home to Christ? Is it time to fix your eyes? Is it time to live in the power of the Savior? As your pastor, I said, yes, it is. It is time. It is time for us to pick up our cross, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to worship him, to go through the testings, to avoid spiritual forgetfulness, to make sure that we are not living in pride and arrogance and apathy, and to remember that there is a challenge for us, because if we forget God, God's going to come and do business with us. Amen? Let's worship King Jesus. Let me pray. God, you're so good. And I just want to thank you for this moment that we are able to open up your word and see from Moses as he was preparing the Israelites to go into this abundant land. But with this major blessing that was coming their way, they needed to be ready. And God, you know as your staff here, your pastors, your deacons, your ministry leaders, we've been praying, Lord. We've been fixing our eyes on you. We know that you are preparing Calvary. You've been testing us, God. And you have been opening up the floodgates. And God, help us to sin under your counsel of your word and your spirit. God, I want to pray for our family here. As John said, dear children, we are a family here. And you are our king, you are our father, you are our God, you are our overseer, our true shepherd. And you don't want any space in our lives. So as we worship you with this song, God, and as we deal with the sin in our lives, God, will you come and will you forgive and will you bring healing? And may we today walk in righteousness with you. I pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, church, the big idea for us today is we're a church on the move and we cannot forget the Lord. King Jesus is with us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stand firm, resist the devil, overcome temptation, and become more than conquerors. It is important for us as God's people to remind each other of these valuable truths and to declare what the Lord has done for us each and every day. Amen? If you would love to talk to one of your pastors, we'll be at the front or in the connections room, and I can't wait for you to come tonight and discuss this in DCs. Have a great weekend. Bless you.